And we are live here on Augusta Free Press. I am Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins, as we talk every Wednesday afternoon about the NASCAR season. And boy, we've got a lot to talk about this week with, we've got to talk about Texas from this past weekend. We've got two races this week, tomorrow night in Kansas, and then this coming weekend in New Hampshire. We got some news and notes to get into. Rod, thanks for joining us. Hope things are going well.
Yeah, things are going well. It's been a busy, busy week. Going to get even more busy tomorrow night with racing at Kansas. So we're into the kick of it, I guess, so to speak.
So let's go back to Texas from the weekend. And, I mean, I guess we could even work in the Xfinity and Truck Series races. Technically, on the track, they were both won by Kyle Busch. He was just qualified in the Xfinity race.
Right.
What happened there? And then, I guess he came back and won the next race. But what happened that got him DQ'd in the Xfinity race?
Well, the Xfinity race, what caused him to be disqualified was a height. There was a problem in post-race inspection that had to deal with the height of the car. The car has to be set a certain height. And if it's just a little bit lower, or if it's setting up a little bit above from where that little nice ginger area is at, then – you know, you're in trouble for that. And it's either something's been added, something's been taken away. We don't know the details of it, but that's what disqualified him from the Xfinity race on Saturday.
I was going to just ask, I mean, this is just a general question. How does that kind of thing happen? How do you fail inspection? Is it something your team, you know, how are they doing this wrong? They know what to do to set a car up.
Well, you know, they do know how to set a car up, but it's one of those things of either that somebody maybe put some wedge in there, or they did an adjustment back there in the back and it kind of lifted the car up, so to speak. And one of the big things that they've had trouble with this year is that new spoiler on a lot of these cars. And that spoiler has to be down almost near the ground, because you don't want a whole lot of airflow going up underneath the car. You want that to kind of be solid underneath. And so that's where I think a lot of the big problem has been all season, is trying to maintain that proper height. And, you know, that much of, you know, distance between the pavement and between the spoiler itself, the front, can make a difference in a car, and it can make a difference in post-race inspection.
So let's go to Sunday then, and the Cup Series race. Richard Childress Racing having a pretty good day. Austin Dillon gets the win. Teammate Tyler Reddick, a rookie, finishing second on a hot day. Boy, when we saw the temperature in the car, when they would show those in cameras, you saw temperatures in the 130s, 140s in the car. I know there was at least one red flag where you got to turn the car off, and that just had to be unbearable for those few minutes out there. Dillon, Reddick, and the crew out there, they withstand the heat. Those two guys finishing first and second. Talk about the day at Texas and the big day for Austin Dillon.
Well, the day at Texas, there were supposed to have been a lot of big names making big moves and, for contention, and kind of jockeying for the playoffs, because, hey, it's the way it's going right now. We've only got about maybe 6 or 8 races to go before we hit the playoffs, and that'll be starting sometime in about August, first part of September. So you've got that's on the agenda. You've got Kyle Busch, who has not won a race this year. Kyle Busch has said that his cars are just simply – they've been junk. They've not been any count, although he had a mishap of where he went through the infield, tore up a lot of the grass there in the infield and got a lot of grass and did a lot of damage, or at least maybe some superficial damage to the front air dam right there on the car. But I think what ended up happening, he was able to make a good run toward the end of the race, but he just didn't have the horsepower, just didn't have what they needed to be able to win. And so Kyle Busch is getting frustrated right now. You're starting to see a lot more frustration come out of him. As for some of the other drivers, Denny Hamlin, really not much of a factor in this race, because we were talking about some of the Joe Gibbs Racing cars, how they have fared this year. Martin Truex, he didn't fare too well also. So out of that bunch with Eric Jones in there, they didn't do well. Penske did pretty good. I mean, Ryan Blaney was running there for a majority of the race. He looked like he was going to be the man to beat for this whole race, and another Ford-dominated race, so to speak, from especially from Team Penske. But then out of nowhere comes Austin Dillon, and I think Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick just brought a new light to this whole race on Sunday afternoon, especially Tyler Reddick. I think if Tyler Reddick had had just a little bit more time and had a car that was maybe just adjusted a little bit more, he could have possibly won this race. It had been a big win for a rookie, just like it was for Cole Custer last week at Kentucky.
Yeah, a couple rookies doing well there. Another rookie causing some controversy, Brad Keselowski, bringing up the awkward wreck of Quinn Hoff. Quinn from Augusta County, hey, right here in my backyard, rookie on the circuit this year. He was trying to get to the pit lane from the middle of the track and caused a little dust up there. And after the race, Brad Keselowski was some pretty strong comments about Quinn Hoff.
Yeah, he's wanted to introduce some kind of a system where it's almost like you're going to graduate into this thing. And Kyle Busch has had this argument before. You've got people out here that don't even know how to drive a late model car. But now I kind of take a little bit of offense to that, so to speak, because, I mean, these guys, if they couldn't drive a car, they wouldn't be out there on the track in the first place. I mean, you can't say anything else about it. And for Quinn Hoff, this year's been a big break for him. He's come on. He's not ran in the top 10, top 20 or anything. He's usually, I guess, more than anything else, kind of hanging to the back of the pack or maybe the middle of the pack. But he's doing it to get experience, I think, more than anything else. But, you know, he made that move. I really can't say that it was all his move because, you know, somebody has to call the shots from up on top of the building, up on top of the press box. And that's your spotter. And the spotter probably told him, you're clear. Now, we're probably questioning the intelligence, so to speak, or also in some ways, the experience of the guy that's calling the shots up on top of the pit box or on top of the press box. But, you know, that call was made. And simply for him being on the track, he made the move to go toward pit road. And then when he did, melee started, big wreck started. And I think Brad Keselowski needs to look back on his experience too. He's wrecked a couple of people too. He's hit some people. There's no doubt every one of these guys have made a mistake. I think they need to go a little bit easier on Quinn. I don't think it's as far back as what it was with Ernie Irvin here back almost 30 years ago when Ernie Irvin was wrecking everything on this side of the track and more. And then they had to finally call him into a driver's meeting and say, hey, look, it's time to settle down. And once they got him settled down, he started actually turning into a great driver. Maybe it's going to end up somebody's going to have to pull Quinn Hoff off and say, hey, look, let's take a look at this. But Brad Keselowski's solution of a graduation, so to speak, or a demotion, as he called it, if they can't drive, he wants to demote them back to the Xfinity Series. Well, you know, what's to say? Let's just put the shoe on the other foot here for just a moment. What's to say about these drivers coming from the Cup Series driving in the Xfinity Series and they cause a wreck? Are we going to demote them to the Truck Series, or are we going to go and graduate them on? So, you know, you got to be careful before you say these kind of things, because sometimes you're not in control of what happens out on the track.
That's a great point. And also, I mean, team owners, they make the call on who to hire, and that's their car out there. And that's their money they're putting into that car, into that team, into all the crew and everything else. And they're the ones who make the call on whether the driver is professional or not. And that's those comments from Keselowski, interesting, just in that context. And the NASCAR driver community is a brotherhood. That stands out as being unneighborly, I guess, from Keselowski towards another driver.
It surprised me. I kind of was like, you know, I can't believe that he just made a comment of saying somebody either needs to graduate or they need to be demoted back down to another series. And I'm like, well, why are you guys even bothering with even trying to have you guys going into the Cup from the Cup Series going into the Xfinity Series? Because that's a problem in itself. These guys really don't need the Cup Series drivers, I think, on a regular basis, much like Kyle Busch has been over the last several years, coming into the Xfinity Series and then running roughshod over these guys. That's what the Xfinity Series is for these guys to get more experience.
Great point, great point. Hey, let's talk some more off-the-track news. NASCAR announcing this week that no practices for the rest of the season. And what kind of impact can this have as the series makes its way towards the playoffs?
A lot of controversy from the drivers because they're wanting some practice time. We've gone back and looked at this thing from the pre-COVID-19 quarantine and NASCAR being shut down for 10 weeks. these guys didn't get a chance to practice. These guys did not have a chance to do anything out on the track. And now here they are getting in the car. They're not practicing when they get to the track. They just simply walk up to the car, get their gear on, get into the car and drive is what they've been doing. Now, some people would say, and I kind of go with this flow about it. This just proves what kind of great driver you are. If you're a really good driver and you know what's going on, yeah, let's just play it by ear. Let's fix the car up. Let's set it up based upon what we've known before at this previous track. And let's get out there and just see what happens. But you've got that situation too of where you're going to a track maybe that has either changed the dimensions or has changed maybe the route, so to speak, like with Daytona, Clint Bowyer, and I think another driver, I think Kevin Harvick, are the ones that are concerned about not going to Daytona and doing some practice on the inside, the Roval, or at least the inside road course that they have down at Daytona. So they've got a point about it. They need some practice time, but NASCAR has effectively shut them down for the rest of the year and just told them, we can't take a chance with this. This is opening up for the possibility somebody else might get infected. We may get somebody infected. Somebody may have to come on. We don't want to do this. Let's just play it like we're going right now and just see what we can do. I think it's been good for some of the drivers because, to me, it proves what kind of mettle they have when they're able to get behind the wheel for the first time after the car is being prepped for the week, and they just walk in there and they just start driving. I think it proves a lot out of a driver, but you know, there are those that say we need some practice, and you know, you would compare that up to other sports. You can't go and play football without a little bit of practice because nobody's going to know how the plays run after a while. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, so to speak.
So let's get back on the track now. Two races in the next few days, tomorrow night in Kansas. Let's start there. Midweek race, not very far, I guess, as the crow flies from Texas, just a short jaunt up the road there. But what can we look forward to tomorrow night in Kansas from the guys?
Kansas is a tri-oval. It's a 1.5 mile track. A lot of these drivers, especially for Clint Bowyer, he loves that track going back home. He's from nearby Emporia, Kansas, and he loves that track, considers that to be his home track. I know that the Hendrick cars have liked that track in the past. And, you know, that's one thing we didn't really talk about this week. We didn't talk about the Hendrick cars making such a strong showing because I know that during the course of the broadcast from Texas, Dale Jr. was not very happy with the fact that the Chevrolets were not doing that well, and then ends up two Chevrolets take the top two positions. But they come from Richard Childress Racing. So the Chevrolets were hoping this time around will have at least a better performance, so to speak, at Kansas, a little bit more of a dominating sort of ride, so to speak. But I think we can kind of expect the same ones. Kevin Harvick is going to be up there at the top. He's going to be looking for a win, kind of replace where he's been kind of in a, I guess, a funk, so to speak, here in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the All-Star race didn't help some of them. And then I think the All-Star race did help some of the other drivers coming out, so to speak. Matt DiBenedetto, he got some good attention this past weekend on the Texas race. Thought he was going to be a contender in there toward the very end, but he didn't end up winning the race. I think he finished in the top 10, but we'll have to see if the Wood Brothers will have a car ready for Kansas this time around. And then we've got not only the Cup Series this weekend or this Thursday at Kansas, we've got the Xfinity Series, then the Truck Series, and then they're going to New Hampshire at that point. They're going to be going to New Hampshire and then racing up there at New Hampshire. And so another tricky track. It's more like an elongated Martinsville, so to speak. It's kind of flat. You have very little banking. It's very rough on brakes. We'll just have to see how well some of those drivers do up at New Hampshire. I guess it'll be a plus for drivers like a Martin Truex who loves to use that momentum coming out of a turn and using that down the straightaway and then powering around, coming around in the turns again and stuff. He doesn't like to use a brake a lot, but it does use up the brakes quite a bit up in New Hampshire.
I was going to ask if from Thursday to Sunday, how much it's one thing if you're going, say, from Charlotte to Bristol or, you know, somewhere relatively close geographically, how much pressure does it put on the teams that you're going from Kansas to New Hampshire? That's quite the haul just to get the cars there. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, we talked about the no practice rule. So maybe, you know, maybe not so much pressure there. And of course, they're used to the short turnaround with a lot of these midweek races this season. But just how much pressure is there this week with that transfer from Kansas all the way up then to New Hampshire?
Well, for the teams, it's going to be one of those things where you're going to already have one part of your team and one part of your hauler already out in Kansas. Then you're going to have another hauler probably coming out of Charlotte that's going to be going up the East Coast and going to New Hampshire. And probably what will happen, they will make a convergence, so to speak, at one point. They'll come together. They'll probably swap out some parts and some different things like that. And the teams will probably swap out a little bit more. And then that truck or the hauler will go on into New Hampshire from that point. And they'll take the other car that they've had at Kansas, or they'll either take it on with them, depending on what kind of shape it's in, body-wise and so forth. They'll take it on to New Hampshire. But it's usually a convergence point. That's the way they've done things before. They'll meet, especially when they've gone from Charlotte over to Sonoma, California. They'll meet somebody about halfway. If they've got a race maybe in Texas, they'll meet, and then the hauler goes on out and takes care of things from that point on.
As we wrap up here, you mentioned earlier, we're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. We're about a mm-hmm. month or so out from determining that playoff field. Kyle Busch is an obvious one as in terms of the pressure on the drivers out there to qualify for that 16 race team field. Other than he, who else is feeling the most pressure right now to get into the playoffs?
Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson is one of those. He wants to get into the playoffs. You know, he missed it last year. He didn't get into the playoffs last year. He is feeling that heat right now. He wants to get a win, and everybody would love to see him get a win more than anything else. But, you know, if he gets that win, he's a lock into the playoffs, at least for that first round of the playoffs. That, and then from that point on, that takes a little bit of the pressure off of him if they get into the playoffs. But for him, yeah, he's got to come up with a win here very soon. And then not only besides Jimmy Johnson, you've got some other drivers in there. Matt DiBenedetto, again, I talk about him quite a lot. He's been hovering somewhere in between 14, 15, and 16 at the cutoff point of where the 16 choices would be of going into the top 16, the sweet 16, so to speak, as they go into the playoffs. DiBenedetto needs some very good races here in the next, I'd say, 4 to 5 weeks. If he's going to contend and he's going to be there, they're going to at least want to see him there before it's over with. And I also have to say this. I think there's going to be some drivers probably making a point. They want to see if Bubba Wallace can make it. Bubba Wallace needs a win, and considering all this stuff that's been going on this season, I think Bubba Wallace needs a win, or at least a great showing to get himself up into the playoffs. He's way back there right now, but a win can turn it around for him.
Yeah, I'm sure NASCAR, from a PR standpoint, would love both Jimmy Johnson and Bubba Wallace. And Kyle Busch. I mean, you want familiar names, and you want some newcomers with some cachet from a PR standpoint. So, but the beautiful thing is you've got to earn it out there on the track. There's no at large bids, I guess you could say,
right.
As things move on. So, of course we will follow and we will share Ron's posts from Facebook on our Augusta Free Press Facebook page tomorrow night. And then on Sunday, and boy, you know, Ron, sports are getting back now. Baseball starts tomorrow. In addition to monitoring the NASCAR race tomorrow night, we've got the Nats and the Yankees breaking into the 2020 season finally tomorrow. Basketball, the NBA is getting back together. So NASCAR's had it to itself here for a while, and now some competition. But you know what? NASCAR's done a pretty good job these last couple of months. It seems to me capturing America's imagination, and we'll just see if they can keep it going, right?
Yeah, I think it's helped out. NASCAR's definitely been able to improve on the ratings. They have been, I will say, they've been dropping. They've been steady. They've been holding pretty steady here. And of course, I think one of the first races ratings were very high when they came back. And then also the Brickyard race, which we kind of get some conflicting numbers back and forth. But still, it's been a good run for NASCAR. Hopefully they'll keep that going, especially as they get ready to go into the playoffs, because, you know, they're going to be the only playoff sort of thing right there starting out at first. Then you're going to have the NBA, you're going to have Major League Baseball, but it's not going to be quite as, I don't know, as thorough, condensed as NASCAR has put it together. I mean, they're going to take so many teams, I believe, in the playoffs, but, you know, NASCAR is going to be taking those 16 teams, those 16 drivers, and seeing what they can do.
NASCAR, of all of them right now, has had the most complete season. Yeah, they missed a couple of months. They made up races. And when they go to their playoffs, it's going to feel like a real playoff. As opposed, I mean, even basketball, I guess, will play, you know, almost their entire season with a four-month break in between. But, man, NASCAR is, you know, they've just about made up everything. So it'll feel about as normal as it could possibly feel when they get to that stage.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of things they're going to have to take into consideration. Road courses is one thing. The Watkins Glen with New York, they don't know how things are going to go there. Of course, they're going to run at Daytona there on the inside, the infield course that they have there. There's still talk that they may run at Road America. They may run at Road Atlanta. I don't know where they're going to run at just yet. It depends on what, I guess, the COVID-19 status is and the state status of where they're going to be running. If things are looking good in the state, they'll go ahead and run. Texas, even though they had skyrocketing numbers this past week, they still managed to let some fans in for the Texas race. So, you know, there's a little bit of erring on the side of caution, so to speak, but they're still looking and trying to look ahead and be prepared for things just in case.
Well, Ron, thank you for your time as always. We'll have you back next week. We'll review this busy weekend of NASCAR racing, but thanks for your time. Have a great week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.